chapter number 1. I mean, we all know this is kind of the Christmas season, right? And we'll look at something. And what I want you to think about with me here maybe over the next few weeks, I don't know how much of this we'll get, but I want you to think about some of the characters that are involved in Christmas and the testimony that they have. The testimony that they have. Look with me in chapter number 1 of the book of Matthew. Look down at about verse number 18. That's, we're going to get you through all those begats. We ain't going to get into them, who begat who and who done what. So you remember that. But look down at verse number 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for the good Spirit of God and for the good songs and testimony. I pray now, God, to add your blessings to the reading of your word. Just give us wisdom and insight and give us some help here this morning. Just let our hearts overflow. God, speak to someone today. Draw them to a place of salvation. Give them your grace and your mercy and let them know you still are there to love them and bring them into the family of God today. And we'll just give you thanks and praise for everything that you do for all of us. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want us to look at some of these different characters. And today, obviously, we're going to look at Joseph. I want you to think about Joseph, and he gives a testimony. Joseph gives a testimony. I mean, that's what he does through his life and through the things that we find about him. And I'll tell you this, here and a little bit in the book of Luke in chapter number 2 is about all that we have about this man by the name of Joseph. I mean, we don't see him say a whole lot. We don't see him do a whole lot. We don't know a biography of him. We don't have a lot of information, but we've got enough to know that he was a man whose testimony spoke something to this old sinful world. Amen? And I'm praying that it's speaking to you today, that it's saying something to your heart and to mine about the kind of character that you and I ought to show and the kind of person that you and I ought to be. I mean, let's look at him. He has a testimony. Now, I want you to notice some of these aspects of this testimony, and you'll see them, as I say, it doesn't say a whole lot, but we'll see them through the things that he does. I'll say this first of all, that Joseph has a testimony that shows that he has a specific call of God on his life. A specific call of God on his life. Can I tell you, every person that gets saved has a call of God on their life. I mean, you say, oh, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not involved in any of the ministry kind of. I'm not an evangelist, nor am I a missionary or the spouse of any. No, you don't have to be. I'm telling you, when you get saved, God puts a specific call on your life. He's got some things he wants out of your life. He's got some stuff, and we'll show, you know, you think about it, we talk about it, that Joseph is the man that God chose to raise his darling son while he was here on this earth. Now, I want you to know something. That sounds like, well, you know, there's a lot of dads around. Yeah, but can you imagine that? Joseph is called to raise the very Son of God while he's in a human body here on this earth. I want you to realize, you see
that as you get into this story, here is Joseph, and Joseph is sitting in a place of a dilemma, isn't he? He's sitting in a place where he's got to make some kind of decision. He finds out that the little girl that he's espoused to is expecting a child. And he just like every one of us, would be like, well, I know that isn't mine. That didn't come from me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he began to think about it. And the Bible tells us here as we read these verses that verse number 19, Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make a public example out of Mary, he decided to put her away in a private kind of matter. But while all of that was going on, something happened. The Lord came to him and began to speak to him in a dream. It says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, aren't you glad, man, that some people do have a little bit of an ability to have forethought in things before they just rush in and do stuff? Most of us are pretty bad about rushing in and doing stuff. But don't you notice, as you think about, he had a specific call in his life. First of all, notice this, that he had to make a specific commitment to that girl named Mary. He had to make a specific commitment to her. I mean, he was at a point, as I say, with all these things that are going on, there were doubts that arose in his mind. There were decisions he had to make. There were things that seemed confusing to him. And I don't know whether I need to marry her. And I don't know what's going on. And I don't know where this baby came from. And we'll be talked about. We'll be put down. We'll be made fun of. But you know what he said? I've got to make a decision. And when the Lord came to him, God said, don't worry about that. I've put a specific caller, and you've got to make that specific commitment to this girl. Amen. Can I tell you today, when God calls you to be saved, you need to make up your mind. You're going to make that specific commitment to the Lord. He called you to be His child, and He wants you to act like the child of God. He wants you to get committed to Him. Hey, I'm telling you, here this left a testimony of who Joseph really was. Joseph, you know, he could have said, well, I just forget this. I'm not getting involved with that. That looks bad, and I think it's bad, and I'm just going to put her away, and I'm going to forget all about it, and I'll go find me another wife. But he didn't. He honored a commitment. If you look at this, you see that the Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph were espoused to be married. What that means is it's kind of almost like our modern time engagement, how people get engaged before they get married. But in that engagement period, you know, there's a period of time that goes by before people get married, right? They get together, and of course nowadays, man, show them those rings and, you know, make pictures, make a big to-do, all that. And that's fine. People do that. In those days, they made a real a commitment toward that marriage, and there was very little that could break that up. But right here is one thing that could. If you found that one of those two persons had committed some act that's almost, well, it would be adultery, since they had committed to each other. They had not come together physically in union yet. But now, hey, it's the same thing. And here's Joseph weighing all this stuff. But I want to tell you something. God came to him and said, don't worry, go ahead and get committed. Amen? Can I tell you, I'd like to tell a lot of little boys today, get over yourself and get committed to that girl. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, she's good enough to go to bed with. She's good enough for you to get married to. Amen. I said it. Y'all take it. Amen. Just run with that rabbit. I'm just telling you. We live in a crazy day today, don't we? Well, preacher, I don't want to get committed. Well, you need to get committed. Amen. I've told people sometimes, I'd like to preach that message. Some of y'all need to be committed. And take that however you want to. Amen. But I'm just telling you, some of you need to get committed to somebody that you're going to spend that lifetime with. And that's what Joseph did. He was hesitant. He was at that place, as I said, of decision and doubt and unsure of what was going on. But thank God, when the Lord came to him, he said, go ahead and commit. And thank God he did commit to that little girl. I mean, Mary, in spite of everything that was going on, in spite of how it looked, in spite of who talked and who said, he said, I'm getting committed. I want to tell you, get committed to God in spite of what they say, in spite of those that say you can't keep it, you won't live it, you'll mess up, you're not what you ought to be. Go ahead and commit to the Lord anyway. Amen. Told you the other night, the Lord says to us, or you know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, I'm waiting until the Lord does this and this and this. Listen, God doesn't save and call those that are qualified, but He'll qualify those that He calls. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you knowing everything and doing everything and already involved in something for God to call you. Brother, you just need to show up and say, I'm here, and get committed to Him. Get committed to Him. So, first of all, you see, He had this specific call, and it involved a specific commitment to a person. Second of all, He had to get a specific, and made to make a specific commitment to a performance. These things that God has asked Him to do, He's got to do it. God said, I want you, and I'm looking to you to raise my son while he's here on the face of this earth. I want you to be the daddy that you ought to be. Wow. Again, imagine that, fellas. Imagine that you're the daddy of Jesus, the Son of God. Well, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? I mean, do I whoop him? Do I correct him? Do I, what in the world do I do, you know? But do you know, Jesus needed some teaching in his life. Jesus needed some things to happen in his life. If you remember here a little bit later on, as I said in Luke chapter number 2, you see how that the Bible talks about Jesus got away from Mary and Joseph when they went to the worship time at Jerusalem, and they lost him, you know, in the crowd, and they weren't sure where he was. They went all the way back, and they found him in the temple, and he was teaching. And he said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business, which is a whole other sermon. But anyway, they got him, and they took him with. And the Bible tells us there at that he was subject unto them. He became subject unto them. In other words, God let him know, I guess, in some way, hey, you need to listen to them. I put them in the place of your parents. Can I tell you today, don't let this grab you too bad, but mamas and daddies, go ahead and be mamas and daddies. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be mamas. Take care of your kids. Teach them. I mean, God gave a charge to Joseph. Here's a young lad. He's a babe. He's growing into a child and a young man. And I need you to teach him how to be the man that he ought to be. I mean, he had to commit himself to the performance of those things that God had called him to. God wanted him to give that. And can I tell you, he had to have had that testimony. You remember what the Bible tells you as Jesus grows up? A lot of them looked at and they said, is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Now, Joseph has probably already gone off the scene by that time, but Jesus is known by that name. Jesus is known. He was raised up in that house. I believe Jesus could have built you some stuff. I believe Jesus could have performed the acts and the works of carpenter. You know why? Because he subjected himself to the teaching and to the lead. I'm telling you, Joseph taught him. But I want to tell you something else. I believe God picked him out a man that could teach Jesus some things about loving people and about the Word of God and about how to be a proper man of God and how to live a life that's right and holy and just. Amen. Can I tell you, we need some examples like that today. Man, I'm telling you, if men in this world would buckle up and cinch up their belts tight enough, just stand up and be the men that we ought to be, this world would be a different place. Amen? I'm just saying. And here, Joseph, I mean, he has a specific commitment to perform a task that God has given him. Not only that, let me tell you, God has called him and gave him a specific call. And it was a specific commitment that he had to make to a plan that wasn't his. It wasn't his plan. You ever seen people and they say, preacher, this is not how I thought my life would go. Hey, you ever been there? Boy, I really didn't count on this happening. I didn't count on this sickness. I didn't count on this burden. I didn't count on this problem. And you know what? We don't. Y'all think Job counted on having all of his problem with all of his kids being killed, all of his camel and oxen and all that? He didn't count on that. But you know what he did? He stayed committed to the Lord anyway. Amen? Even when he was stricken from head to toe with boils, you know what he said? He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. Can I tell you, we've got to get committed to the plan of God. I mean, you just got to make your mind up. When God puts stuff in your life and you prayed and you're saying, "God, I want to follow you." Man, sometimes it ain't what you planned. Joseph is like, "Well, here's what we're going to do. Me and Mary's going to get married. And we'll do this a while and we'll have kids." And we'll do, Right off the bat, God said, "Here, I got something for you." "Well, God, I didn't plan on this. This ain't the way I think it ought to go." Do you know what? God ain't called none of us up and asked us how we think things ought to go. Amen. Did he tell you that? No, he did not. He said, "Man, there's going to be things that will come in your life." In every one of our lives, things happen. And you know what we do? We just keep on going and commit ourselves and give ourselves and go and serve the Lord. Amen. So here's Joseph. And part of his testimony is this, that he testifies through us seeing that specific call on his life. But second of all, I want you to see this. He testifies to us because we see that he had a special counsel in his life. Oh, let me tell you something. When you see people that are different, I mean, that it looks like God's on them. You know why? Because God's been talking to them. They have some counsel that you and I don't even understand. Here's Joseph, and he has a spiritual counsel that comes into his life. I mean, here he was. You know what he began to do? I want to tell you, first of all, hey, the Lord begins to speak to him and talk to him. And he says, "Look, Joseph," while he thought on these things, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen? I mean, listen. First of all, you got to realize that Joseph was given a testimony from God, and he was going to have to give one, and it was going to work, first of all, in his heart. You know what you got to do? You got to listen to the Lord. Your heart better be tuned in to heaven. If you want to get some spiritual counsel today, your heart better be tuned in to heaven. Because can I tell you, your heart, given to your ways and your flesh and your inclinations and your thinking, it doesn't do anything but go south. It'll take you to some hellish places. It'll take you into some unrighteous and unholy and ungodly things. But if you'll listen, if your heart's right with God, and you let God speak to your heart, he'll begin to tell you what you need to do. Here's Joseph, and he's asleep. It's in a dream. But God begins to come to him and deal with his heart. And you know what you got to do? Listen. Listen. You need to listen when God begins to speak. Amen? Boy, I think about little Samuel over in the book of 1 Samuel. He's laying in there in the bed. You know the story in the first few chapters, how that his mama prayed for him, and she takes him back and presents him to Eli, the priest of God. And he's there serving, and as he goes to bed one night, he hears a voice that says, "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up, and he runs into where Eli is, and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli says, "No, you go back to bed. I didn't call you." He goes back, and that happens two more times. And finally, when it happens that third time, Eli says, "The Lord's talking. You just ask him and say, 'Here am I, Lord. What do you want out of my life?'" And God, can I tell you, the best thing you can have is a tender-hearted listening ear toward the Lord. He can speak to you. He can tell you some things. And you say, "Well, everybody else didn't hear that." Everybody else don't have to hear it. And everybody else might not need to hear it. But thank God when he's talking to you, you need to have a listening heart for the Lord. Amen? God's going to tell you some stuff. He's beginning to tell Joseph some stuff. And Joseph, the Bible tells him, we already read it, said he was a just man. I mean, he's right with God. God's speaking to him. And he says, Lord, you know, I just keep on talking. I want to hear it. Amen. Now, Paul, you know, we talked about him out on the road to Damascus. He's tough, rough, and mean. But God got his attention. And you know what he did? He began to listen to the Lord. He said, who art thou, Lord? And then he said, Jesus said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then he began to talk to him. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? You got to start listening when God is talking. Amen? You got to start listening. I mean, I'm saying have some special counsel that goes on in your life. You need to be opening your heart to hearing what the Holy Ghost of God says to you. I'm glad, hey, the Bible said to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, Paul says over in Ephesians 4, 5 and 18. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? So you can hear what God's saying when he talks to you. Amen. Amen. He got something he wants to say to you. So Joseph is listening. His heart is tuned in to the Lord. Second of all, I want you to realize this. Hey, his head is looking to the Lord. You notice what it says here? Here he is. He's thinking. Verse number 19 says he's a just man. Verse number 19 said he's thinking about putting away privately. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things. I mean, he's reasoning. He's thinking. He's trying to look and see what this is all going to look like. But aren't you glad when God comes in and gives him some counsel, that helps his head thinking? What I'm saying is if you'll listen to God, he'll help you in how to think. He'll direct you in what you ought to, what direction, what kind of wisdom, what kind of understanding that you ought to have. Amen. If you go back, and we've been reading some of these things and time passed, you go back and look in the book of Ephesians, and you look in the book of Philippians and Colossians, how that Paul writes and says, I'm praying for you folks at these churches, and I'm praying that God would give you the right kind of understanding to work through some things in your life. To learn how to live, learn how to be friend. Can I tell you, friend, hey, one of the best things you can do, you can have a tender heart to hear, but man, you need to let that get up here and begin to direct your thinking. Joseph, he's thinking, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. But when the Lord began to talk to him, you know what it says did? He got up and did what God said do. Amen? He's listening. But then he's also looking with his head in the right direction. He's not, as I said, when you think about him, he doesn't just impulsively do something. You know, this happens. React. Isn't that how most of us do? Something happens, we want to react. I mean, you know, somebody slaps you, what's your normal reaction? Slap them back. You know what you better do? Take a deep breath for a minute. See how tall they are. See how much they weigh. See if you can whoop them. Amen. Might be time to turn and run. I don't know. But you sometimes you need to think your way through some things. You remember what Jesus said? Talking about becoming a disciple of his. He said, which of you would not sit down and count the cost first to see if you had enough to finish your building project? Or which of you, if you had, you know, so many thousands of soldiers, somebody with twice or three times as many soldiers came up, would you not try to work that out before you got in a fight, knowing you'd get whooped? You know what? Some people react impulsively. They react just reactively. I mean, they just whoop. But you see what Joseph did? He thought on these things. He reasoned through those things. I'm telling you, you got to listen to the Lord, but then you got to look to him also and say, God, help me think through. You know, don't let me just react. Let me do it, and let me do it with a head of the knowledge of God. Amen? So he's got his heart and his head. But don't you notice this? As I say in verse 24, it said, Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He became humble at the counsel of God. When God gave him counsel, he listened, he looked, and now he's learning something from it. I need to listen to what God said. Again, This ain't the way I planned it. This ain't what I think ought to happen. This is not the real thing, what I had in my mind to start with. But if you'll listen to God and let Him begin to deal in your heart and in your life, He can humble you. Joseph, at first, you know what his inclination was? I'll just put her away. I'll do it privately. But I'm not getting involved in this. But when it was over with, God said, yeah, go ahead. And after he got the right kind of spiritual counsel, he got up and he did what the Lord told him to do. Amen. What I'm saying is this. Me and you, we're not all the same. We're not all going to do the same things. But whatever God tells you to do, you need to do that. God begins to give you counsel. And I've heard people say, preacher, can I tell you, this sounds silly. This sounds crazy. This sounds off the wall. But if God's in it, man, hey, who are we to fight against God? If God's in something, man, you better go ahead and do what God says to do, how God says to do it. So he got that spiritual counsel that came in his life. And then last thing, I want you to notice this. There was a special consolation that Joseph received from the Lord. As I said, he's the man that God has chosen to raise Jesus. Do you see what it says there in verse number 18? It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This wasn't the birth of Christ, the Son of God, because he'd always been. But this is Jesus involving him as a man here on this earth. That's why that name is given the way that it is, Jesus Christ. You'll see the terminology used throughout your Bible, but a lot of times when they're trying to connect his manhood here in this life to his Godhood there in heaven, they use both of those, like Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. He is all in one. He's 100% man, but he's 100% God, right? And Joseph is a man that God chose to raise him after his birth. Here he is. And the Lord tells him some things and gives him some consolation. God says, this is my plan. This is what I'm sure. This is how it's going to work. This is what my will and what my direction is. First of all, you know what he tells him to do? I want you to claim Mary as your wife. You see that? It says that he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. Claim Mary. Go ahead and claim her. Take her as your wife. Amen? This is what I want to. This is the will of God. Can I tell you, that was the specific purpose and consolation for Joseph in his life. No telling what his life had been had he not done what God said to do. His life would have been a mess. God could have used somebody else, and maybe God would have used. I don't know what God was going to do. But his perfect will for the life of Joseph was, I want you to claim that girl as your wife. Joseph said, well, I'm just not sure. God said, I'm sure. This is what I want done. Can I tell you, you'll be much better off when God says, do this. Go ahead and do it. Amen. It works that way. Amen. I'm just telling you, I can remember 33 years ago, me and Judy at that time are driving home from here. We're driving home back over. We lived in Ringo at that time. We're driving back that way. And I look across the car at her and I said, you know what I'm thinking? She said, well, I know probably what you're thinking. I said, well, what am I thinking? She said, you're thinking God wants you down there at that church at Old Bethel. I said, you're right. That's where God... She said, I'm thinking the same thing too. Amen? Hey, isn't it good when God works in all of that? Can I tell you, I can remember being at a church not too far from here. Just, 5, 6, 7 miles, whatever it is, from here. And there were some folks here in that church, a smaller church, and I ain't got nothing to do with it. It was a smaller church, and I've been down there and preached several times. And there was people come to me, and I mean, some of the men met with me in one of the rooms, and there was some of the guys that had tears in their eyes, begging and asking me to come be the pastor of that church. And can I tell you, my heart was, wanting to, but all the while God was saying, that ain't it. this ain't the place. This is not what I want. And you know what? I had to go back that night and tell those men that as I prayed, that wasn't, as much as I wanted to, that wasn't what God wanted. And again, they were like, are you sure? And again, they were heartbroken. But can I tell you? I say, God, I want to do what you want. I don't care where it is and what it is. If that's what you want, I'll do it. And he said, that ain't it. There's something else. There's somewhere else. And I've wound up here for 32 years. Amen. So, hey, man, don't that sound like maybe we've made the right choice somewhere along the line? That I'm listening, God. I'm trying to listen. But he said, here's what I want. I want you to have, I want you to claim Mary to be your wife. The second thing I want you to see that brings a great consolation is that Joseph does it. This is amazing. It says, behold, in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Joseph, you know, kind of debating over whether to take Mary for a wife or whatever. She shall bring forth a son. Listen, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I hope your Bible's like mine. If you'll look at that, that name Jesus is all in capital letters. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. First thing he had to do was claim Mary for his wife. Second thing the Holy Ghost told him to do, name that boy this name. Call him Jesus. Amen? Now, if you remember when John is born and his father is can't speak, can't talk, and his mother has him, and they begin to talk to her and say, what's the child going to be called? And she said, his name's John. And they said, oh, you can't name him that. Ain't nobody else in y'all's family named John. Well, that ain't right. You need to name him, you know, after his father, Zacharias, or some other family member. And she said, no, his name's going to be John. So they run out somewhere, and they find his daddy. And his daddy can't speak. And his daddy says, give me a piece of a tablet. Give me a piece of slate or whatever it is. And he takes a rock and he writes on it. And they say, what do you want that boy called? He writes, his name is John. And about that time, God opened his mouth. He began to sing a song. He began to give a testimony. He began to give a witness of what God had done in all of their lives. And that boy's name is going to be called John. Hey, that's the same thing that basically happens here. Jesus, I don't know if that's probably not a family name. But can I tell you this? His name is to be called Jesus. Can I tell you, Joseph said it's Jesus. The angel told Mary it's Jesus. The angels told Joseph. I mean, everybody said his name. You know what his name is? Jesus. Aren't you glad that they named him as they were supposed to? He said, name that child, and I want you to name him Jesus. Why did they name him Jesus? That's the same name that is translated Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua is Jesus in the New, but it means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. It ain't just to deliver them out of a land like Egypt. It's not to bring them in just to the promised land as Joshua did. It's because Jesus is going to save all of us from our sin. What a name! Amen. What a name. And they said his name shall be called Emmanuel. You say, well, maybe they should have named him. No, his name was to be called Jesus. But he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen? He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. And his name shall be called Jesus. You ever heard that little song that I think the Gaithers did it, didn't they? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away,
But there's something about that name. Boy, they feel something about that name, isn't it? Amen. There's something about that name. And Joseph is told, name him Jesus. You know what he does? That's what he named. And then, I want you to notice this. This just kind of gets stuck in here. But you notice, Joseph gets a particular consolation from those things as he listens. But look in verse number 22. I want you to notice that not only was he told to name them, claim Mary and name Jesus, but he was also told a frame of reference for all these things that came from the Scripture. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. Hey, Joseph had a frame of reference for what he did. You know what it was? It might have been something that maybe he wasn't a scholar, maybe he wasn't a Bible studier, maybe he wasn't, but I'm telling you, God worked every bit of it out according to his word. And as God worked it all out, God caused it all to come to pass. You know what that does? That makes the testimony of Joseph that much greater. Joseph does all this stuff, and the Bible said all that was done because God had told Isaiah 600 and something years before that, this is what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden there's a little girl named Mary that's expecting a child that she's conceived by the Holy Ghost. And God tells a man by the name of Joseph, take her to be your wife and raise this boy and call his name Jesus. You know what Joseph does? Yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. Amen? What a testimony. And that testimony still lives on and on and on and on today. You know what that says? That says if you're here today and you're lost, listen to the testimony of a man named Joseph. If you'll just listen to the Word of God, He'll save you today. He came to save us from our sins. Amen. Aren't you glad for that name? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing this morning. Maybe you're here. Joseph left you.